All right. Thanks, everyone. Hello and good evening. So good to be with you. This is Dr. Will Tuttle. It's November 19th, 2020, third Thursday of November. And people are still coming in. It's great to have you all with us. We're far from our normal haunt in Northern California. We're down here in Central Florida. And I'm glad to be here. Some of you are aware of the situation. Probably a lot of you aren't, but my mother, I'll just mention it briefly here at the beginning and maybe talk a little bit later, she's doing better than we thought. She's 92 years old, and my sister was really concerned. The nurses that are kind of helping out thought she was going to pass away like a month ago, but she's still with us. And so Madeline and I took a long drive in our little, we love our little micro van. Some of you may have seen the video. We converted a little tiny van so we can live in it, and drove out here. And so we're staying here at my sister's house where my mother is also, and getting to spend a lot of time with her, which is pretty powerful. That feeling of, this is the woman who brought me into the world, and she's leaving the world. we put our digital piano on the roof of the van. So when we got out here, we were able to surprise everybody that we have a piano. So we set it up in my mother's room. And so I'm going in there and just playing for long stretches of time. This really uplifting music, you know, and it's like when we got here, she was not very energetic or responsive, and now she's like up, she's getting up, she's walking around, she's eating and everything. It's like, gosh, she's probably gonna live another few years, it looks like. The power of music. I really don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. She's on oxygen 24/7, and she's pretty weak. Actually, I have to literally pick her up and move her physically into the wheelchair and then into the couch. You know, she comes in usually once a day into the living room. But it's just great to spend time with her and my wonderful sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, Kevin. So Madeline and I are here. And we'll go ahead and jump into our call. And I'm just letting people in. So it's great to see your beautiful faces. Madeline's with us right here in spirit. She's in the other room. And the nice thing probably to do now is just go ahead and get started as we usually do with our meditation. I won't be able to do it from the grand piano like we've been doing in California. I'm just sitting here in our bedroom. But I'm so grateful to be with you and to have an opportunity to share ideas together here during this really crazy time we're in. It seems like every few hours there are new developments that seem important to the world situation. And then, of course, we've got the ongoing issue of animal agriculture, which is, as I always say, the spinning fury generating so much devastation to our world. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. If you have any questions or concerns specifically that you'd like to share and talk about, we can do that. You know what to do. Press *6 on your phone. We don't have any particularly special guests to interview today. So this is really our time. But I'm delighted to see you all. So I'll go ahead and maybe just invite all of us to take a few minutes for our opening meditation time, and then we can go ahead and get started with the main part of our call. All right, so I'd like to just invite all of us to take a few minutes and breathe, reconnect to our shared purpose, our shared vision of a world at peace and in harmony with nature, with animals, with human beings, with each other, with ourselves, with the infinite source of all life. Breathing into this present moment, giving thanks for this wonderful opportunity that we have now this evening to connect with our hearts and with our minds, with our spirit, and to send healing energy into our world, to send a great reminder into our world that there is one life living through all of us, and it manifests as compassion and joy and creativity and abundance, loving kindness and respect, joy and gratitude. And we're aware of the enormous beauty and the incredible majesty and intelligence of the natural world, of this earth, of the universe in which we're embedded. We celebrate and feel our kinship with the kaleidoscopic unfoldment of life here, all the billions and trillions of animals and birds, fishes, insects, amphibians, reptiles, forests, ecosystems, prairies, jungles, coral reefs, oceans, lakes, Arctic regions, magnificent earth. It seems to be so impervious to whatever we could do, and yet we know it is very fragile in many ways. And we have 7.5 billion of us disconnected from our wisdom roots. So let's take a moment now and each one of us just go deeper within and feel our connection with our heart, the physical heart, which is pumping, beating, without our ever having to remind it to get to work, faithfully serving us, bringing vital nutrients, oxygen, and removing wastes continuously, this ongoing celebration of intelligence. And beyond the physical heart, to the light of awareness that is the source of our life, of our manifestation here. Connecting with that heart, the light that shines in our heart is the same light shining the heart of this earth, the heart of the universe. Same light that shines in the heart of every living being. This honoring and feeling the presence of this heart of light and awareness within us. Knowing that no mistake we ever make, no fear that we have, no uncertainty, no error, no misjudgment can ever disconnect us or remove us from our oneness with this infinite heart of love and wisdom and life and truth, conscious awareness that links us beyond the individual to the universal. So we give thanks for this opportunity of a precious human life to savor beauty all around us and to contribute to the healing of the problems that we are creating here on this earth, to be an example of kindness and respect and caring, to open the door to our own intelligence a little bit more every day. We give thanks especially to all the cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys, ducks, geese, sheep, goats, fishes, aquatic animals, horses. I mean, the animals who we are especially enslaving and imprisoning. The terrible injustice that they endure at our hands. We send our deepest gratitude and ask for their forgiveness on behalf of humanity. May their suffering open the eyes of human beings to another way of living in alignment with our true nature. May their suffering not be in vain. May we turn away from the path of death and destruction that has been programmed by animal agriculture and the herding culture, and open to the way that is always present, the way of health, joy, radiant awareness, of abundance, to come into our right relationship with the spiritual authority that shines within us, in our right relationship with the infinite web of life of which we are part. Feeling our oneness with our own inner eternal wisdom, knowing that what we are was never born and will never die. What we are is the seeing, hearing, feeling, the awareness that transcends the little mask. And we give thanks also to all of our brothers and sisters making their efforts to awaken spiritually and to help our society come into alignment with the harmonious and peaceful, just and respectful way of living that is always available to us as human beings. We give thanks for all the teachers in our life, friends and family, ancient wisdom teachers perhaps, founders of religions, prophets, saints, sages, poets, men and women, animals, all the teachers in our life who have guided us or given us little hints along the way in our life. We give thanks for all the teachings, the ocean of the teachings that's all around us, the great scriptures of the world religions, as well as the sound of the mountain stream that can help us awaken, and the voice of the birds in flight, reminding us of our own migration home. And we give thanks to all of the loved ones in our life, whoever they may be, and for the opportunity that we have in this life to learn and to grow and to be a voice for those whose voices are ground out under the relentless roar of the machine. May we together create a tapestry of wisdom that can bring light and healing to our world. And so it is. Okay, so it is. So, oh, here's Madeline just coming in the door, just when we finished the meditation. Well, that's really good timing. Here's, if you like, you want to listen. Here's everybody. You can see Judy.
Oh, hi. Hello. Good to see you all.
This is
greetings.
Florida. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, everyone. So I'll continue on here. One of the things I especially like to emphasize with our third Thursdays, we have our first Thursday now, which is a little bit more focused on a satsang, kind of the remembering the truth of our spiritual reality. And that's still, of course, important for us here. But this is an opportunity for us to also delve into the nitty gritty of what's happening, what's been happening in the last month. So I'd like to, first of all, just open it up. If anyone has a particular question or something that's been bothering you or that you're just kind of looking forward to have some reflection about during this time so it doesn't get stuffed in at the very end, and we have maybe a little more time, go ahead and press star 6 and feel free to speak up. I, of course, have plenty of things to talk about, as usual, but I don't want to just... go have a one-way thing. So if anyone does have anything you'd like to share, go right ahead, or at any time if you'd like. It doesn't have to be right now, but April, do you want to say something or ask a question or make a statement? Feel free. Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I have to introduce my new family member. I'm not sure of her name yet. It's either Molly Motor, and she was purring so much during the meditation, she was just joyful.
Great.
Or Shiloh or Pumpkin Spice. So her name will reveal, but she wanted to say hello.
All right. Greetings. What will be?
The heaviness, that is the opposite. She's like the little joy, the little light. But the heaviness, I'm just wondering if others are feeling complete overwhelm with the heaviness of now. We've known, all of us in this group have known for a long, long time of the horrible things that most people aren't aware of. And so we've carried that heavy burden and sadness that we've been mourning for that all along. It's a constant mourning.
Right.
Now, with all the sadness that's going on with COVID and everything and the fear, and then there's a whole other layer of this matrix unraveling and the heaviness of knowing what's going on, knowing where this is leading, as far as not listening to the mainstream media and knowing the deeper agendas. The heaviness for me has been almost too much to bear. And I guess I'm just reaching out to everybody. Are you there feeling that too? Do you have it?
Well, thank you.
We thought it was bad when it was just the animal.
Right.
And now when we see what's really happening, and again, the rest of the world is just blind to it. They're just, I didn't mean that in a disrespectful way, but they are, they're blind to it and oblivious. That's adequate. I got my point across.
Right. Well, it's hard to know, I think, what's actually happening. We have the mainstream media, and then we have lots of different narratives in the alternative media. And then we go out into the world and we see everybody beautifully wearing masks and so forth, and see the power of this, the narrative that's coming from the mainstream media and the governmental authorities and the pharmaceutical industry. And I think you're right. I mean, there really is a tremendous sense of fear in the world right now, among people, and that fear is is just being amplified by the mainstream media through, you know, relentlessly, because I think it's well understood that that's the doorway to greater control of human beings. So it's, I think it's very important for us to resist the temptation as best we can to be afraid, and to take time every day to do spiritual practice, to remember the truth that we are. But I, by that, I don't, certainly don't mean to in any way desensitize ourselves to what you're talking about, April, the heaviness and the pain of knowing about the suffering that's happening among human to human beings directly because of this. So yeah, I'd like to maybe address a few things about that more, and just see also if anyone else has something to add. You know, feel free to, of course, to do that. There's really many layers to this, I think, and you know, my position from the very beginning of this, when the first little inklings of this thing started back in January, I mean, I never believed it at all in the slightest degree. And so it's been very painful to see so many people being, to me, from my point of view, hoodwinked by the narrative that's being forced upon us, and unable to resist that powerful momentum of the mainstream narrative that, you know, like Scott Atlas, if you know who Scott Atlas is, he's the MD, who's really been questioning the whole COVID narrative, and was brought in by President Trump into the administration as a counterweight, I think, to Fauci. But he just said yesterday that the only thing that's going to stop this is if people stand up and resist. Nothing else. He said it's just marching on. You know, it's just, they just keep marching on with more and more tests, more and more cases, more and more draconian lockdowns of human beings. So on that level, I guess you're right. I mean, I think you could make a good case that this is by far the single greatest attack on humanity in the history of the world, what we're seeing right now. But it's our own fault, really. I mean, I've been warning for decades that if we're going to microchip billions of animals, so we're going to keep planting the seeds of microchipping other beings and exploiting them and using them and birthing them into pain and fear and terror and misery, in a purposeless life. You know, we're gonna. Why would we not reap that ourselves? So, I think that, you know, there has to be, on some level, an awakening by human beings, and that's why I think more than ever it's important to share the vegan message. I guess the thing is that it's almost like, I don't know if this is really true, but I think I might have mentioned this at one point, but I have this feeling sometimes. It's like sharing the vegan message. It's like you're on the Titanic and you're sharing the vegan message and you're trying to get everybody on the Titanic to go vegan. And then at some point it's like, hey, this whole thing is going down. Now what do? You jump into the lifeboats and hang on. You know, so, those are some of the overarching things that are playing out. And I think it's really how we respond, how each one of us is an individual, how we respond to this. That's the thing. Because at some point, it's going to be over, right? I mean,
well,
the play's going to be over, and then we're going to be all talking, like, you know, how we did during this challenging time. Yes, Judy.
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to, on kind of the other side of things, I think there's a lot of people questioning. And April, I think we're definitely not alone. We went to Joplin, Missouri last week, and we went into Walmart and Home Depot and all that, those stores, because we were fixing some things down there and needed supplies. We thought, we estimated about half the people were not wearing masks in Joplin, Missouri. And we had the same experience, I think I might have said this on your show before, Will, when we went kayaking in southern Missouri, and nobody down there was wearing masks. They just said, we know it's a hoax. And then we had millions of people showing up in D.C. I guess 1 million is the best number we've gotten so far, standing up against this and any future lockdowns and mandated vaccinations. And then we've got Denmark, and Will can tell more about that, but they evidently were going to pass a law that I'm not sure what it was, but it had something to do with locking down and mandatory stuff. And they overturned it, and this woman that we saw speaking said that they were out in front of where they were voting, beating on pots and pans and letting it be known that they would not stand for it. And so absolutely, I think that's it. I think there's lots and lots of us, more than we even know, lots of people wearing masks, and they're just looking for somebody else to not wear a mask so that they can feel a little bit safer. Here in Lawrence, Kansas, about everybody's wearing masks except for us. And Michael was in, I think it was Home Depot yesterday, and got kind of, a guy got really upset with him and pushed his shopping cart at him. And so that's, you know, two different kind of political, I guess, leanings, Missouri, southern Missouri versus Lawrence, Kansas, Douglas County. But anyway, I guess I'm just saying there's hope, but Will's right. We've got to stand up for this truth, and we can't back down and be intimidated. So, yes. Really critical, and I love your analogy, Will, of the Titanic. It's like, wait, I'm supposed to be working on animal rights, but oh my gosh, we've got to be doing something about the ship going down. So thanks. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yeah, I've found there's a group in Washington called People's Rights, and these are not vegans by any means. A lot of them are probably Trump supporters, and it's odd how it seems to overlap with this Christianity. It's all hooked in with the Christian church somehow, which, I mean, so in a way the values don't work for me, but yet I've gone to a few of their meetings. And these people are about, you know, there's no, people, you know, no masks. It's like, you know, we're not putting up with this BS, and just practical strategies for people to connect with each other and help each other out in the community if anybody is threatened in any way. So it's a nice quality in that way. And practical stuff like preparing your home for a disaster, making yourself more independent. They're teaching ham radio courses, and I don't know if I can get my head around a ham radio, but they're a way to communicate. So, but, I mean, that's an option to find in your community, people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in other states, but right. This is what's going on in Washington. I think it's right. Larger than just Washington, but it's called People's Rights, whatever the state is, so.
Yeah, there is that. I've heard of that People's Rights. It's a decentralized, web-based, grassroots movement to just find local people where in your area, because it's your own neighbors that are going to be your best allies, the people that live near you. And, so I've looked into it a little bit, but we're down here in Florida, so it's hard to do a whole lot, but I think that's a good sign for people to start reconnecting again in the face of what's happening. Thanks, Ann. That's very interesting. Tammy has her hand up. So yeah, go ahead, Tammy. I can, you want to say something? I can unmute you, I think, if you need. Yeah, go ahead.
Good day, everyone. I know for me, you know, I go in waves. And, you know, as within, so without. And for me, it's about how it impacts me in that moment is how balanced I'm staying within myself. You know, so if I'm not spending time in nature and I'm not moving my body and I'm not eating, you know, enough hydrating food, it's going to be overwhelming what's going on right now because it's too much to take in. But it's kind of like what you said, Will, you know, the war has been going on for a long time and it's just, and the darkness is really just coming to the surface to be transmuted to light. I mean, it had to be. It couldn't be underground forever. It just can't be. And, you know, this morning I was quite tired and I got home and I really do a lot for my children and I adore my grandchildren and I was there overnight and giving my daughter a long massage. She's been working really hard and I got a really brutal text from my son-in-law saying, you know, keep your brainwashing to yourself. You know, Phoenix said that you've said eating cows is bad. And, you know, all I had said to my grandson when he asked if we could go for cheeseburgers is I don't eat cows. He said, it is not a cow, he said. So just even having conversations like that, I noticed that people are very heated right now. And I was actually hurt. And then I realized I just can't take anything personally right now, you know. And I have to be doing something creative every day. I have to be writing poetry or painting or I'm just actually in the last stages of finishing Sacred Sovereignty, Will, which you were so gracious to write a foreword for. And Judy has a beautiful writing in the back of the book and just focusing on us as a community and knowing that we're never alone and that we're these beautiful sparks of divine. And the war has been going on for such a long time in so many ways. And if this is going to bring the level of abuse of children and animals and the planet to light, then bring it on. Mm-hmm. Bring it on. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to believe it's that because the alternative is too dark. So I have to believe this is darkness coming to light. That gives me a lot of grace room to be spacious in. I have to believe that. And if it means that along the way I lose some of my personal rights, I just have to go into the feeling that how many people and animals and ecosystems have lost theirs long before now and understand that, you know, who am I? Really, I get to feel a little piece of losing a bit of sovereignty. And I hope that brings me to more compassion like all the other suffering that I've had in my life. So thank you. And, you know, I love you all. And I know it's hard, you know, and just cry when you need to cry. And paint and dance and laugh and gather. And don't wear masks. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Yeah, beautiful. Wow. Beautiful sharing, everyone. Thanks. I just want to say one thing that came to mind from what you just said, Tammy, actually, about the darkness. It's been this enormous darkness of animal agriculture and domination of the sacred feminine, of women, of children, of ecosystems, of animals, really of sacred masculine also. And over the centuries and longer. And I love that idea that this is now coming to the light to be healed. I think that idea of to be healed and is very important. Somebody, one of us, I'm not sure if you're on the call, one of our facilitators, she's usually with us, she's probably here, sent me an email or a message at some point asking if I would talk a little bit about all of this in relationship to vaccines. And because she's not really sure, you know, she thinks, well, you know, getting the flu is really a bummer, you know. She'd rather get a shot if she doesn't have to have the flu. And what do I think about that? And I think that's related to this, actually, because I think from my point of view, and I realize that when I hear people talking about getting sick, everybody has this experience that getting sick is bad. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about now, like this whole thing that's coming up right now, it's bad. We don't like it. You know, it's uncomfortable. I don't like getting sick. I don't like it when there's social unrest and social injustice, and it's all bad, bad, bad. And yet, one of the things that I've just noticed naturally happening to me over the last 40 years is that, and I think part of it is being a vegan and not really, and doing a lot of fasting in the early years. So I kind of cleaned out a lot of stuff, I think. So when I get sick, I experience it as a cleansing, and I like it. I mean, it's something I enjoy, the, even though it's sort of uncomfortable. I can feel like, you know, my sinuses are cleaning out, and there's this like clogged, painful kind of thing. But it you know, it only lasts, you know, half a day or a day or maybe at the most a day or two. And then it leads into this kind of cleansing, this release. And so the viruses and bacteria that are making it happen, I just think they're so great. You know, I'm like, they're my friends, they're my allies, they're helping in this cleansing process. And it's just natural, especially living in the polluted world we're living in. We're going to need to clean out. And so viruses and bacteria are our friends to help us in this cleansing process. And the last thing I would want to do would be like go to a doctor and say, oh man, you know, I'm sick, you know, give me something to stop this cleansing process. That would be insanity. I'd be like, what the heck? Are you crazy? I'm not going to stop this. I mean, this is why, you know, if you stop it, it's just going to get worse and everything will get worse. So I find this kind of universal, even among vegans, everyone has this experience of never wanting to be sick. Never wanting to go through a cleansing, you know, never wanting to do anything to avoid that. Take some medication, some medicine, take a vaccine or drug or do something to kill off those nasty bacteria, those darn viruses or whatever it is that's causing me to be uncomfortable. And so I really think we've all been so programmed by this idea of trying to keep the dark, dirty parts hidden. And as soon as it comes up for natural healing and cleansing, we just want to stuff it down again. Stop the process. Stop, stop, stop. Don't let it happen. And, of course, if we do that, I mean, everything gets more and more corrupt, more and more sick, more and more decayed, you know, more and more disgusting. And it's going to take a bigger cleansing when it happens. And so in many cases, I think we've done that. You know, we have been... I mean, we had these beautiful beings come to the planet, like the Buddha and Jesus, telling us, don't eat animals, you know, live in harmony, be loving to each other. And great saints and sages and prophets reiterating that and telling us that. We've heard that. And we just ignored them. You know, we said, I mean, for whatever reasons, I mean, there were powerful forces that, you know, that stifled that message, perverted that message, corrupted the message, hid the message. And we're taught that, you know, you need to eat animals and enslave them, and God gives us the right, and God loves the smell of the sacrificial lamb and makes him happy, you know, whatever, all these stories that justify all of this violence, and we're born into it, and so we teach it to our children. I mean, we've got this whole thing going, but it's enormous darkness, and if we were really honest, we know it. I mean, if we're really honest, we're aware that horrible. We you know, like Tammy's son, you know, says, we're not eating a cow, it's a burger. don't tell my grandkid it's a cow. That's a lie. It's not a cow, it's a burger. And so, you know, there's this tremendous clinging to the illusion of allowing us to continue something that's utterly unsustainable and that has to be brought to the light. So I guess one perspective we could be celebrating here in a sense or working with is that this is it. I mean, we're seeing for whatever reason there are powerful forces that have decided to launch a massive attack against human beings and to turn us all into cattle, turn us all into livestock, and it's not going to stop. It's going to keep happening. I mean, unless something stops that process, and I'm not sure what that would be, if it'll be human beings going vegan or moving in that direction, or at least saying, you know, I'm not sure how we will be able to stop that process, or if it'll be, you know, angelic beings, or if it'll be UFO beings, or if it, I mean, it's such an interesting time, because we look into the future, and on one level, before COVID, it looked like we had this sort of open future getting better and better. And we could, you know, we were traveling, we were talking all the time about how more people are going vegan, there's more vegan restaurants, there's more vegan meetup groups, there's more vegan festivals, and then suddenly it was like slammed, it shut, and there's no more vegan festivals, and a lot of things are just shutting down. We don't have really the kind of freedom that we had before to share. And so now we're actually working in a much more limited, in many ways, much more limited set of resources that we have to bring this message and to live our lives and to connect with nature. And it looks like, with the second wave of lockdowns in Europe and more governors locking down here, that there's this intention to continue to limit our capacity to travel, to have maintain bodily integrity, to gather with each other. And that's happening on one level. And then, of course, like Judy said, there's this rising resistance to that, or maybe a better way to say, an arising affirmation of our basic rights to be, to live our lives freely and to have sovereignty. And I really think, though, that on some level, and that's, I guess, one of our jobs, is to make people aware of what we're doing to animals. That, you know, why do we have, in a sense, the right to be free and sovereign when we're stealing sovereignty and freedom from billions of beings without caring about them? Without addressing that and to somehow bring that message. Because even though, like Anne was saying, there's these wonderful groups that they really, I love it. I mean, it's most of the, unfortunately, it's weird, most of the so-called progressives, which I always identified with, have become the most fascistic and tyrannical. And then the other groups that seemed more conservative, like the gun-toting patriots, you know, they're my best friends now, you know. You know, these are the ones. All right, you know, not that I'm going to carry a gun, but so, I mean, just the idea of like, no, we're not going to allow these big pharma to come in and vaccinate our kids and ourselves with an extremely toxic. I mean, these vaccines we're talking about. Besides the fact that, like I was saying earlier, I really feel that the whole germ theory, which sees us as human beings basically at the mercy of these harmful forces outside of us, so we have to fight them and with toxic chemicals, that's so neurotic and false, and just totally disempowers us as human beings, and really creates a situation exactly like this, where we're going to have these parasitic forces, which really is what they are, these super wealthy, powerful people in corporations and financial institutions. They're parasitic. They just suck the energy and the financial power from the people and from the earth and from animals, and they just get strong, bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And these corporations never die like humans do. They just keep getting stronger, and with time they can completely control the media narrative. And so we see this takeover really of the like Rupert Sheldrake, he talks about morphogenetic fields, you know, we have mental fields of small groups and larger groups and nation groups and humanity as a whole. And as those fields get permeated by the narrative of this this global globalist power structure, it begins to take away really something that's, in many ways, we've been building something, I think, positive, but it begins to erode that. And so I feel that there's the spiritual and religious passion that people have, even if it's more, you know, fundamentalist Christian, it's something very cleansing in that, something good, something healthy that, that's like we're going to stand up and defend our sovereignty. So the but the underlying idea is that there's this hypocrisy, which is poison, because we're doing the same thing to all these other beings. So out of all of this, I really do feel that we as vegans have a critical role to play to help remind people and exemplify this in the way we live our lives, and somehow to share this as best we can, however that is, you know. So I just wrote, some of you probably have read the article, I wrote an article called The Masquerades That Define Our Culture. I was just basically emphasizing this idea of a masquerade. You know, we have these masquerades, and it's always about deception. Our entire society is just permeated, it seems like to me, with the archetype of deception, the Trojan horse mentality, where you have something that presents itself as benevolent, and it is anything but benevolent. It's very malevolent. And so the three I say in the article, the three main ones are animal agriculture and chemical banking. Now, these are huge, massive, gigantic forces in the world, and also media and defense, so-called defense. But they portray themselves, animal agriculture portrays itself as the way we get healthy food, and yet it's so devastating. And the same thing with the chemical industry. It's portrayed as allowing us to have a long shelf life and have get rid of all the pests and heal all our diseases. And yet the dark side of it is incredibly addictive, destructive on every level. It's just destroying the whole web of life here is being wiped out. And then the banking, you know, like we give you the money you need to build up your business and buy your home. But, you know, but there's just this continual creation of money that goes into the hands of these financial institutions, and they use it to buy up basically political and media power to such a degree that they control the governments, they control everything, and education and the medical, they control the whole medical thing. So those things, all of that, you know, we have a media that in the same way, where all the media is giving us the truth about what's happening in the world. You know, I'm getting the New York Times every day just to get reminded of how unbelievably, how terrible the New York Times is. I mean, it's like everything they say, I go, it's just one lie on top of another. And yet it's always portrayed as something good. Like we're here, we're your friends, we're your allies, we can help you make sense of a difficult situation. And they're just destroying the very foundation that we have of freedom and health and harmony and sustainability and everything that we're valuing, these institutions. And so here we are as beings in this situation where the cultural institutions have been permeated by this darkness decade upon decade upon decade, until they finally get to the point where they're confident that they control the whole thing, and now they can just go ahead and launch the final coup d'etat, more or less, this big hoax, and confident that people will just go along with it, and that we're you know, livestock enough that we'll be the livestock. And so I think as vegans, the whole idea is that we've made the effort to look behind the curtain, to question the narrative, to question the hoaxes, to question the masquerades. We've taken off our own mask as best we can, right, to be authentic. And we're doing, in a sense, I've been traveling around with Madeline for 35 years trying to unmask big agriculture and big pharma and big chemical companies and all these, you know, unmask that. And people love that. You know, it's like, yes, let's see the truth. We want to know the truth. But then when this happens, the fear that people have of disease, the fear of death, I guess it is, it's so daunting that we find ourselves suddenly abandoned in many ways. I think that's the pain that April was talking about, really, is that so many of people we thought were allies suddenly don't, you know, they're afraid, and they afraid of disease. I guess that's it, really. It's just, please help me and keep us safe, you know, that mentality. And
in the vegan community, In the vegan community.
That's what I mean. Yeah, in the vegan community, it's very strong.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot, so many of our vegan friends are just like locked inside their houses, afraid to go out somehow. And I just love it, you know, just coming here, like where my mother is, and just every day I hug her and kiss her up and down, everything, whatever, you know, people say, oh no, it's your mother, you're going to make her sick, and blah, blah. She's 92 years old, she, don't do that. I mean, what a joke. I want to tell people, when I go into the stores where everybody's wearing a mask and someone looks at me and they say, you know, they kind of get away, and I want to say, you better be aware that I'm very contagious. If you get too close, you're going to get radiantly healthy. It's just going to rub off and you're going to find yourself feeling fantastic. So you better stay far away if you want to stay sick. You know, just stay far away. You're very smart. Stay far away. But if you want to be healthy, come give me a good hug, because that's what I'm contagious. I'm contagious for health and joy and freedom and vitality. And if anyone gets too close, boy, you're going to get a good case of it. That's really it. I mean, the real contagion, I think, is love and joy and compassion and caring. And this idea that somehow we have to be afraid of each other, we're going to catch some bad thing. I mean, there's nothing more insidious than to plant that seed. And if people are so deluded that they'll actually swallow that baloney and actually believe that complete malarkey, you know, that's their woundedness, just buying into it. You know, I've known from the beginning that I'm contagious and you want what I got. You know, I mean, I want what you have. I mean, you know, we are each other's teachers. We are each other's inspiration. You know, Madeline and I have traveled the world all over the place. I've never been afraid to hug anybody. You know, and I've never gotten sick from that ever. So I think, you know, the whole idea is the real thing is the fear, and underlying the whole thing is animal agriculture. It's the guilt and the shame and the sense of being not part of nature anymore, cast out of the garden because we're just eating violence, giving it to our children, eating misery. And it just makes our bodies, in many ways, especially people eating animal foods, are just breeding grounds, really, for toxic bacteria and viruses, because they're eating such horrible food that the toxic, you know, bacteria are just trying to take the body apart and return it to nature because they're, you know, half dead, eating all that death. But if we're vegans and we're eating living foods and we're meditating and we're connecting with the joy of life and our adventure and our sacred purpose here, then we're attracting all the wonderful forces of nature and of the universe, and they're our allies. And I think to remember that we all have, I think, guardian angels. There are other beings of other dimensions that are with us, I'm sure, and we can pray. We pray for John. You know, I know there are people that pray for Madeline and me, and it's helped us so much. I mean, we lived for so long just right on the edge of annihilation, practically. I mean, living in an RV, traveling around, I mean, God, I came so close to wiping out everything many times, but we always seem to have these angels somehow keep us going. And I think all of us, really, we have tremendous benevolent forces that are our allies in our life. And ultimately, we have that here on Earth. I really feel that, you know, like Gandhi said, ultimately, whatever tyrants, they always lose. In the end, it's never going to work. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And so I think we have to have that kind of fundamental confidence in the ultimate benevolence of all of this, and just don't cave in to the fear, and remember that right on the other side, through a thin veil, is the next lifetime, right? I'm reading the Dhammapada right now, one of the ancient Buddhist texts, and it's all over and over again. The Buddha is always saying, remember, act in this life because you've got another life coming. And that, you know, if you may do fine in this life. You may get all kinds of power and prestige, but you're going to suffer. You're going to take, you know, you're going to get it in the next. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, we have to remember, this is part of a much bigger story, a much bigger movie, way, way bigger. And not to have the blinders on. The culture tries to put blinders on to remember the bigger story that we're part of. And whatever seeds we sow, that's what matters. It's the seeds we're sowing. It's how we respond. That's why I'm not. That's really quite honest. That's why I don't have a gun. I'm not gonna. I mean, I'm not gonna go killing somebody. So I think in the ultimate analysis, it's really nonviolence is the only way. Ultimately, it's nonviolence, and loving kindness and compassion. That's it. That's the highest power and the highest truth. And when we, I think when we live that, we'll start to feel and find the forces of the universe aligning behind us, and we'll find allies and fortuitous circumstances just coming in where we least expect them. Doors will be opening. Things will happen. You know, it'll happen because we're aligned with the universe, with the unfolding in the positive direction. And when we do that, it's an unstoppable force we're aligned with. So I think that each one of us can take time every day to do our best to cultivate that kind of awareness. And it's not easy because we're surrounded by the opposite in many ways. So you're really pioneers, all of you, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity that we have together to talk about these ideas. So anyway, thanks for listening to me on that mini rant. But does anyone have anything you'd like to share about what I've been saying or any other ideas? Because I think it's really good to talk about this. It's really, in many ways, a lot of this is continuing to accelerate, actually, and it's good to try to get to the roots of it as best we can.
I would like to say hello.
Who's this?
Savvy.
Savvy, hi, Dad. Oh, from England. She's 2 o'clock in the morning. Or
it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got my last email, but I'm having a lot of problem with fear right now. Did you get my last email? With
yeah,
the images
so.
In it? With the, they're harvesting organs. You have to opt out to not donate organs.
Really?
And that really freaked me out.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's, and I, someone told me that they had created this law. You have, the new law says that in order to not be an organ, quote unquote, donor, there's, you have to opt out. Legally now.
And that's in England.
Otherwise, yeah. Otherwise, they can just take what they want and ask questions later, which is frightening, especially for someone like me who does 30 and 40 day fasts and, you know.
You're so sensitive to the energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, that news hit me at the end of a 30 day fast. So it was maybe a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know, it's been a lot to handle, and everything that I'm hearing from everyone else tonight has resonated with me in some way, but I still haven't figured out how to sort of get a hold of the fear, because it really is freaking me out. And I'm hearing there's this night in November, it's the 5th of November, we're locked down again, by the way, as of the 5th of November. We're on nationwide lockdown. So people have gone out, and I'm right on the Thames River. I'm in the Keys, and they traditionally set off fireworks on the 5th. It's like the 4th of July. But it's Guy Fawkes night, so they light off fireworks, and there's bonfires, and this, that, and the other thing. And my favorite thing about living on the river is all the aquatic wildlife that lives on the river, too.
Uh-huh.
And people have been setting off fireworks every single night since before the 5th. And the animals are freaking out. Like, they're so fussed about it. And nobody's even supposed to be going out right now. So that's another thing that's messing with my head. It's like, wow. We're on full nationwide lockdown, but there's people out there with fireworks, and they're scaring the animals anyway, so we don't know, what do you do? I don't know what to think. I don't think anyone really seems to care, but there's all this stuff that I can't wrap my head around what's going on. And I've thought about going back to the States, but you really do have something of a coup d'etat happening right now. And it seems like they're trying to start a whole lot of violence, and I don't want to get caught in it. My car is in New York, so if I fly to New York, I'm going to have to drive through New York, and I don't want to be anywhere near New York right now.
Right.
And I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, I understand. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, we've been a little bit hearing that, you know, Europe in many cases is in some cases, actually in quite a few cases, is a lot worse than here. We were just listening to a woman giving a report on Slovakia, and she was saying there, you know, some of these, I guess, Eastern European countries, they have, it's like a 1,580 or euro fine.
Yeah, there's a fine. Yeah,
if you're not if you're caught out when you're not supposed to be, and mm-hmm. they only make, she said they make about 800 euros. What was it per something per week or something? So it's like you're really like they can't afford that kind of.
I'm not making anything per week. I haven't been out since they locked us down because I work in people's homes. I'm a culinary teacher and I work with food and nobody wants to do anything with food right now because there's this crazy disease and we could all get infected, so you better not eat food or work in people's kitchens. It's insane. But there is a fine and I haven't been out since I've been locked in since the first of the month. I literally have not gone out at all.
Wow.
And that's making me kind of insane.
Yeah, that would be hard. I can see it. You know, I feel like that's really hard. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, I feel like, you know, at least here, we just jumped in the car and drove across the country. And
yeah, I envy that.
And be here and we can run, take swims and whatever. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But,
there is one thing to be grateful for. In Canada and New Zealand, apparently they have activated the internment camps. They're putting people in camps now.
No.
You don't have to test positive. If they suspect, and that's why I'm afraid to be here, they passed a similar law at the beginning of the year during the first lockdown in March.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone suspects or rats you out, you know, if you don't like your neighbor, you can call up the government and say, I think my neighbor has COVID, and they'll take them away for a minimum of 2 weeks to somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they take them here, but in New Zealand, they're just confining people to count. And if you agree to take a test, which I don't know how you feel about the test, but I'm not going to have anyone poke a swab up into my pineal gland. But if you agree to take the test, then they may let you out after 2 weeks after they quarantine you. If you refuse to take the test, you don't get out. And apparently the same sort of guidelines apply in Canada.
Right. Yeah, that's why it's good to see there is more and more, I think there's more resistance. Like Judy was saying, they're having some good movements happening in Europe, in Germany, and Portugal. I just read, and of course you heard about Denmark.
And Italy, I think, is a lot.
Yeah, Italy. There's been in England too. I mean, people are you know, seeking out. But yeah, it's you know, what veganism is non-cooperation with the forces of violence and injustice and evil, basically. And I think this is part of it. To just do our best not to cooperate with these forces that are enslaving sentient beings, animals as well as humans. And to be as aware as we can be. But I still think, I know what you're saying, but I think each one of us we have our own unique mental landscape, right? So
I just feel really powerless. You know, not going out is what they want from us. And I'm literally going along with it. But that's really just because things are so complicated. And I'm just so... I mean, as April was saying, it's an intense feeling, and it's
right.
It's hard to fight. I mean, the last couple of times I have gone out, I walked along the river and I just started to cry.
Mhm. Well, whatever has a beginning has an end. You know, it's gonna, things will change for sure.
Yeah, but
ultimately, you know, it's important,
Judy.
I think.
Hi,
Judy. Let's go ahead and hear from some other people. Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask Gabby if there are people there in England who are going out in large numbers to protest?
Some have, but they have apparently been arresting people and taking them away. And my visa expired like 2 months ago, and I really don't want to start any nonsense until I have a plan of action. I'm seriously considering, like, seeing what's happening in the States right now. I'm considering seeking asylum somewhere completely different, and I'm looking at different African countries because a lot of the leaders of those countries seem to be rejecting all of this. They just don't want to have anything to do with it.
Right, I've heard that.
I don't know what to do, though.
Wow. No, I didn't know it was that bad there. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. Well, we're certainly with you in spirit.
Yeah.
And we'll be praying for you and for the best solution to come forth. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I live in Canada, and I had heard from one of my best friends that three of them just got out of the city, and they've all bought pieces of land out in the country because their daughter works for Secret Service military, and she's getting her parents out of the city because they are building these detainment camps, these concentration camps. And I just can't even wrap my head around it. I try not to think about it because it's unbelievable to me that, like, there's 12 of them going up around me. And it just seems like, wow. Yeah, and she's getting her parents out of the city in hopes that if they have a piece of land and they're far enough away that, you know, then at least you can be walking your land, right?
Right. I think it's important to get out of cities, actually. I mean, they've been building these camps. I was following news back in, like, 2005, 2006. They started building them in the States. They exist there. They're just waiting for an excuse to start shuffling people in. And I feel like this election chaos, I really feel like the whole thing is just a big show to distract people from what's really happening. And it's just really difficult to follow one thing and then look over at the other thing and keep up with it. But I feel like it seems like a powder keg right now.
Mm-hmm. Antoinette, you have your hand up for quite a while. Would you like to share something?
Yes. Hi, everybody. So I just wanted to share a couple of resources that I heard about in the last couple of days, because I think Dr. Tuttle said something about, you know, it would have to be local, like people would have to, you know, you need to talk with your neighbors and people around you. You know, we can't change what's happening in another country or another state, but perhaps work in your own neighborhood. So I was going to put it in the chat, but the chat isn't enabled, so I'll just say these websites really and easy. One of them is called exposelions.com. And it is this young man, his name, he goes by Anomaly. He does rap, but he also does a lot of truth reports on YouTube. And he's put together this packet that people can download, and, like, he's going to take it around. I think he's in Los Angeles, and he's going to take it to all the small businesses because he was talking about how, you know, if a group of them together, you know, refuse to close or refuse to do masks, then they have a better chance. You know, because then what can the police do, you know, trying to shut them all down? He talked, one thing that really caught my attention was about the people who have stood up, like the hairdresser in Texas and I forget where, but when they got fined a lot of money, you know, then the local community would come to their, you know, defense and raise money to help support them. So he was just talking about the need to be courageous and brave and then also band together in your local community. So anyway, what he's offering up, and I just looked at it, you know, I might use it and change a few things, but it's a good starting point. So it's exposelockdowns.com. And then there's another one, Dr. Pam Popper has got this, makeamericansfreeagain.com, makeamericansfreeagain.com. So me personally, I feel the same. I totally resonate with what everybody's saying. I really have just been keeping my head down and, you know, just trying to not deal with people. It's really upsetting to me to go into stores and have to wear masks and get into altercations with people about it. and where I live, it's required. You can't shop unless you wear one. So anyway, that was it. I just wanted to share those. Like, even I personally don't know how I feel, but at the same time, I really just want to, like, let it, whatever's going to happen, happen, and just let it be. You know, I like Dr. Tuttle's way of saying this isn't the only life. It's a bigger, you know, game, you know, a big situation going on, and to just kind of let go with it. But then there's another part of me that feels like, you know, I need to do something. So I wanted to share that in case anybody else might get to that point or might be thinking, like, they just feel like taking action, you know, locally. So
great.
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Antoinette. And by the way, Antoinette, I think the chat is working. At least it's working for me.
Oh,
it's
now
working
it is.
For you. It says chat disabled for me.
It says the chat's disabled for me, too. Yeah.
It says chat's disabled?
Yeah. I just sent you a screenshot of it via iMessage.
What the heck is that all about? It's the weirdest thing.
Hey, Dobby.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you, are you familiar with Dan Aston Gregory?
I just fixed it. Okay. Now
yes, there it is. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
The name sounds somewhat familiar, but I don't know exactly who you're talking about.
Gregory. He's I don't know if he's London-based. He's definitely UK-based. And he's got a website called Make Lockdowns History.
Okay.
And he just does these podcasts where he just looks at one thing and another thing, and he appears to be quite balanced because he's just a sweetheart, and he keeps bringing light to things. So you might enjoy his podcast.
I've made a note. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's going on with this mass testing in the UK called Operation Moonshot.
You mean the vaccine testing?
Well, it's the testing to ramp up the number of cases.
Oh, right. Yeah, that started at the beginning of the year, actually.
Right.
Yeah, just in Liverpool, and it's being rolled out. And anyway, Dan is inspiring and helpful to listen to.
Okay, I've just made a note. Thank you so much for the recommendation.
Can I say stuff?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Hey, so just in general, I mean, I've had a lot of positive and a lot of negative, a little bit of both, and like, well, you were saying earlier, I suddenly find myself, I have all these Republican friends that I've never had in my life before. But I've been trying to be active. I've sort of been forced to be active, just doing the van life, and I don't have a fridge. Since this whole lockdown started, I literally have gone to grocery stores every single day to get my food. So it's a battle every single day, and generally I don't wear a mask. I have been banned from a few stores, and I recently found out, and the health food stores are the worst, I recently found out that I've actually, Jimbo's health food store in Carlsbad actually banned me from the whole shopping mall and made up lies that I was harassing people in all these other businesses and I wasn't in any of the, I mean, just because they didn't like that I dare spoke up against the mask. Now I didn't walk in their store. They didn't want me to without the mask. And I was okay with that. Where generally I do find though, in all of these other stores where they tell me I need a mask, I just keep going. And they allow me to go in there and they, you know, unless somebody says we're not going to serve you or we're going to call the police. And I've already dealt with police a few times also probably. But I think the best thing we can do now is go mask free wherever. And to me, if a store has a sign that says mask required, which they all do, I totally ignore them. We don't really know if they'll accept us without a mask unless we try. So that's what I've discovered. There are several grocery stores I can go into. They all have the signs. And when I go into them, you know, sometimes I'm abused, you know, this verbal abuse. But there have been many times now, especially more recently, because people have put up with this for so many months, that you'll see people with the mask like below their nose and then they notice you and you're not wearing a mask and you get into a conversation And I always have my flyers with me. I've created these flyers that say lockdown resources, and there's all these people, doctors and like Peggy Hall, Dr. Pam Popper, all of them, Dr. Will Puddle's on there, and Robert F. Kennedy. I mean, so many resources for people. And I always have flyers with me. And they have been spectacular, and I feel like I'm making a difference because so many people have been so grateful to receive these flyers because they are. They're stuck behind the masks. They don't want to be. Some people are courageous and are willing to just take the masks off. And then I know other people that sadly know what's going on. They've known what's going on. They say there's no way they're going to get a vaccine, but they won't take their mask off because they say they can't take the abuse, whatever, from people. And to me, I've just been telling people, it's like, if someone came up and tried to rape you or kill you, would you fight them off or would you just allow them to do what they're doing because they're doing it? And to me, it's the exact same thing. It's just a slower process. These people are trying to kill us. They are trying to, you know, destroy us. And I think every single one of us, I think, Will, you said someone, I don't know if it was like a new Dr. Trump brought on or something, someone,
Dr. Scott Atlas.
I think the only chance we have is for everyone to go mask-free every opportunity that we have and ignore the signs on the store, on all the stores, and because a lot of people will allow us in there and will serve us if we stand up for ourselves. Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think it's, I found the same thing. You know, we travel across the country, and I've still never worn a mask, ever. And we've gone in. They always say you have to have a mask. I never wear one. I never have any trouble, really. I mean, I just do my business and I ignore the mask. It takes a little courage, you know, just to walk in. Everybody's wearing a mask and just not wear one.
Yeah.
But it's also, I just love it. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, just, it's like just scrambling the narrative wherever we can. And I think, it's and Madeline's the same way. We go together or she just goes or whatever. And what we found as a little side tip, we buy ice. We buy ice and we use ice. We don't have to go to the grocery store every day in our little van.
Yeah. I've started a little bit. Yeah, I've started. Yeah.
Lots of little tricks. But anyway, Deborah, yes.
Yeah, thanks. On the issue of masks, if people aren't watching Peggy Hall with the Healthy American, she's all about how to wear masks in places where they say masks required and that type of thing.
How not to wear a mask, right? Yeah.
Right. And I guess I also have a question regarding the internment camps. And my friend, I have a flyer, too, that I take with me, and if anybody, you know, the mask below the nose, not wearing a mask, I ask them if they're interested, and it's my intention to leave them in bathrooms, but I don't know, you know, I don't always remember, but that's
and I
are putting together another flyer that I think is really good, and the end point that we're trying to, that we're working on finding reference for are the camps. And so I'm wondering if anybody has good links, you know, resources that talk about these camps.
You mean talk about the existence of them or?
Yes, the existence. We found on the CDC, they have a whole section on how to manage the camps and how to, but,
right,
you know, and neighborhood lockdowns and maybe switching homes if you have, you know, keep too many people and not enough bathrooms, you know, really crazy stuff.
Right. Yeah, I just posted something on the chat, a link to the CDC website where they talk about camps. But yeah, I know that's the thing. I think that's what we're talking about. It's like if we just go along and we wear the mask and then we go along with the social tracking and then we go along with the vaccine and then we go along with the camps, and then there we are, you know, we're in the camps.
A lot of the resources are being taken down.
Stop the process as soon as we can, as much as we can. And I think, again, that, you know, but I really feel it's important to keep a positive attitude here, try not to get dragged into, you know, the fear, because I think fear is what really, feeds the beast. And you know, the thing is, you know, that we as human beings, we have been acting like parasites ourselves in relationship to the animals and to nature in a lot of ways. We just build these things that suck the life out of animals and in nature in ways that are so exploitive and destructive. And so we're products of that in many ways. And as vegans, we've been able to free ourselves from that mentality quite a bit, but we still have some of it in us maybe. And so that's why I think the personal meditation and just healing ourselves as much as we can of these tendencies and the competitiveness and the fear, the disconnectedness that we feel, to connect with that, I don't know what to say, the eternal light that is our true nature, and that is keeps us, you know, in every incarnation, wherever we are, whether we're man or woman, and whatever race we are, whatever species we are, there's something that transcends the personal mask that we're wearing right now. Like right now, this body, in a sense, is a mask. It covers up our true nature, our true identity. And we tend to identify with this mask, and there's something, so that's the person, the persona, you know, that's what makes this possible. I think if our movement can do that, if we can do that, and as our movement can do that, then we're free of the fear, and we're really unstoppable. I mean, we'll just, you know, we're not so concerned about our own personal welfare, and we're willing to do things out of love for life itself. We're grounded in the eternal rather than being stuck in the delusion of just being a material thing. Because that's what we do to animals. They're just material things. So they're dominated and exploited for that reason. We've got to stay out of that material illusion and remember the deeper truth and treat all beings with respect, whoever they are, even the parasitic super uber class. You know, they have their game they're playing, and maybe it's to help us heal on some deeper level. You know, we don't know. They always say that your greatest enemy is actually your greatest teacher. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we're being forced to really examine ourselves and how we respond to this whole thing, which shows what we're made out of, essentially. It really shows where we're at. And it kind of sort of separates, on one level, separates the wheat from the chaff. We can really see, you know, where we're at with everything, and not to judge anybody. We're all in our own process, and but as much as we can stay with love and authenticity and courage, really, I think is a big part of it. Then we can ignite. We can be part of the igniting of the movement of liberation for animals and people together. So that's, I think, the challenge, and it's this nitty gritty that we're going through. Like, well, then what do we actually do, and how do we build a movement, and who are our allies, and who do we trust, and what do we believe, and what do we actually do to contribute? That's the question. Each one of us has unique gifts, and it's beautiful to see, really, the ideas that are coming forth here. So, gosh, you know, it's amazing time. And these are the times I always come back. My father used to always quote, he loved quoting, I think it was, who was it that said it? It was, Thomas Paine, I think, wrote Common Sense. these are the times that try men's souls, you know, that famous thing. My father loved quoting Patrick Henry. I only regret that I have but one life to give to my country. He was always quoting Patrick Henry and he's got these sort of radical revolutionaries. And I went through this whole stage of like, oh, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, I'm not a national patriot kind of guy. I'm a global citizen and all that. But I can really see there's a certain wisdom in loving and protecting one's nation, I guess, the frame, the culture, the what we have that's valuable, the honoring of basic freedoms to gather and to have religion and to speak up and so forth. So it's really, you know, this thing that we are so easily scared. That's what just bugs me, that, you know, if something has happened to us in this country and in the world, that we're too dang easily scared. You know, we shouldn't be so easily scared of things. That's really, that we've got to get over that somehow. Okay. All right, we're about out of time already too. Does anybody have? I know there's still some, are there still some hands up, or anybody want to share?
Can I throw in one more thing?
Okay.
Just to give courage, as I've gone mask-free in all these grocery stores, I have met some of the most mind-blowing, amazing people. Uh-huh. And they've been very grateful for me, and we've made all kinds of connections. And interestingly, while we've been on this call right here, I happen to be at a place called Plant Power Fast Food, and I went out to take my garbage out, and this woman is coming up to me while I'm still watching what you're saying, and she's like, didn't I see you at Fraser Farms? That's the good health food store that's allowed me to go mask-free. And she's vegan, and we had exchanged. I had given her a flyer and my card and everything. So this one health food store, Fraser Farms, I've connected there. I've connected at the dog park where I've set up a table and the loudspeaker of America's Frontline Doctors playing and a big banner of them. But I have met mind-blowing people. It's interesting. I'd like to leave because I want to go someplace maybe more affordable. I've wanted that, but the people are mind-blowing. So many people really want to stand up and fight. And there's the scared people, too, of course. There's lots of them. But there are people waking up. Yeah. There really are. I just feel so supported by all these people here. So that's all I wanted to throw in.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, yeah, let's, really enjoy, or make best use of the freedom we have while we have it. I think the fact that you can inspire people like that, Andy, is beautiful. You know, we can be ourselves, and it's been pretty neat to come into Florida. You know, we were actually able to go from Southern California to Tallahassee in 2.5 days, and we have our little van, and we just camp in a parking lot somewhere and spend the night sleeping and get up in the morning and keep going. But we always were sure to do our meditation, yoga, tai chi, everything, and take time for spiritual practice, and then do a lot of driving. we made it in 2.5 days. And I took a swim in these beautiful springs here. They're just crystal clear, beautiful. And here in Florida, most people wear masks, but it's absolutely, you know, you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to anywhere. So it's kind of nice to see that there are liberated spaces. And one of the things I learned in college was this idea of finding liberated spaces and protecting them and flourishing in them. You know, go to places that are somewhat liberated and build there. And so that's another thing to be aware of. It's really great, you know, like my sister and her husband, and, you know, they're totally on board with all this. And most of all the people, you know, in their life are on, you know, are pretty much on board with this. Their church is open. They go every Sunday. And, so there's a lot of people just going about their business this day, and we're ignoring all this baloney. And, they were talking about how, you know, Gavin Newsom just 2 days ago had this, you know, he tells everybody they can't have a gathering of more than five people, and you have to stay social distance and wear masks and get tested and for Thanksgiving. And there he is in at this high-class place in Napa with like 10 other people, and nobody's wearing a mask. They're all carousing and laughing and making a big racket and completely ignoring. And he's telling everybody else, you know, you have to lock down and stay shut up. And, you know, I mean, that's being exposed, and not, probably not in the mass media, but being exposed to the alternative media, the utter hypocrisy of these so-called elected officials, these petty tyrants that are trying to, you know, make livestock of us. And I think as people realize that, just don't let it happen. I mean, just don't go along with it. And it was really neat to see that, you know, how that restaurant in LA that just refused to allow anyone to wear a mask in that restaurant. And they got threatened and threatened and threatened and all kinds of threats. And the guy said, I don't care, you know, and they're still open. They're busier than ever. They're totally successful. People love them. And so, you know, just, he just like grew a backbone and said, I'm not going to go down. We're planning on doing some lectures here in Florida. And we're just going to, you know, if we can get people to come, you know, that's the challenging part. But, you know, we try to do our best to spread the word and just be an example of the freedom that we would like to have cows, pigs, and chickens experience, right? We want them to live their lives freely, so we have to be free ourselves as best we can. And if we're not, then we, like somebody said, like Tammy said, I think we can also experience the empathy we have with those animals that they're going through. But I think we, you know, it's important for us as vegans to really exemplify this. So I'm so, you know, grateful for all of you and the beautiful energy that we're building together. I think it's amazing, actually. So thank you all so much for all your efforts. We're at about the 1.5 hour mark here, and it's getting late here. It's 9:30. My mother, I'm supposed to play the piano for her again if I can. I'm playing the piano all the time for her. She really loves it. So now we'll see. Let's keep her going here longer than anybody thought possible, maybe. But we'll see. We don't know how long we're going to be here in Florida. We may still be here for the first Thursday. We probably will. We'll still be here for the first Thursday in December for sure, and maybe the third Thursday in December possibly as well. So that's the next. Those will be our next events coming up. The satsang on the first Thursday of the month, you're all invited, and that's kind of an open, more open one to anyone. This is more just for us World Peace Diet facilitated people. So I think I'll close here. Madeline, do you want to say hello to everybody and just...
Yeah. Wow.
Hi, and I hope you're doing better and better and better while things get worse out there, but then we can influence and be contagious in our goodness for the others. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, Madeline is hard at work knitting wrist warmers. that's which is kind of fun. My mother loves her wrist warmers, and even gosh, it's amazing. I mean, what I'm really amazed is my sister's husband, Kevin. I mean, he's this huge guy, probably weighs 225 pounds, super macho male guy, and Madeline gave him a pair of wrist warmers. He was like, what am I going to do with these dang things, you know? But he put them on, and he hasn't taken them off. I mean, he loves them. He's just wearing them everywhere, and he's, you know, we pray at night, you know, they're fundamentalist Christians, and he says, Dear Lord, we're so grateful for Will and Madeline, and I'm grateful for my wrist warmers. He's like, he says they're made with so much love, and he can feel the love, and it keeps, you know, we've had these kind of a little bit chilly days here in Florida, so I can see Susan, Susan Datry's waving her wrist warmers around there. Yeah. So, you know, I guess, you know, we can all, yeah, there they are. We're all, you know, we're all just doing, you know, like we say, we're all doing the best we can, but I think it's important for us to just really stay positive and feed the energy of freedom as best we can. So thanks for being great examples, everyone, for doing that. And let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and put up the recording as we usually do. And we send all our love to you. We'll look forward to seeing you on the third Thursday of December, just for the record. That will be The next call will be on the 17th, and then we'll have a call on the 3rd as well. So I know there's so much more that's went unsaid among for all of us. There's a whole ocean of feelings and thoughts and wisdom that we could be drawing upon, but it's present. It's in us. It's in our community. It's, we can all tap into it in our meditation for the over the next month. So let's continue doing that. I think in many ways, this group is the yeast in the whole loaf of bread. There's so many people that are vegans, and there's so many people that are anti-lockdown and all that, but there's not that many vegans that are making that connection. So I think it's really important that we combine the liberation movements here and embody them as best we can and trust our intuitions in doing that and support each other and support everyone. All right, much love. Let's say our closing prayer. Thank you again, Judy, for contributing and for being here, especially. It's so great. And everybody remember Judy's new book, Homo Ahimsa. We've got, and also Tammy's got a new book, Sacred Sovereignty. It's really great to see these creations coming forth. Fantastic wisdom, really, that's coming forth. And we'll keep you posted by email. And we have the World Peace Act Facilitator Facebook page, of course. You can post things there as well. So let's say our prayer together, the compassion, circle of compassion prayer. We'll say it maybe three times. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Everywhere. Much love to you all, and my vegan sister, my vegan mother, send their love and appreciation to you all, and all their kids and grandkids and great grandkids. We've got this whole like bunch of little vegans. They'll all be running around. My sister's daughter has 4 little vegans, never been vaccinated. They're doing great. It's so great to see this generational thing happening. So a lot of good things, and much love to you all. So we'll look forward to seeing you probably from Florida on Thursday, the first Thursday, and then probably the 3rd Thursday too. Thanks again. Much love.
You will. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Bye. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.